Welcome to the November edition of the Paranormal News Insider on the Grand Dark Conspiracy. I'm Brian Parsons, your host, as we reflect on the news of the last month. In cryptid news, a rash of Sasquatch sightings in northern British Columbia has some cryptozoology experts thinking this may have something to do with bears, as bear sightings have also been on the increase. While there is a possibility that some sightings may have mistaken a bear for a Sasquatch, a different theory is on the table. The bear moved down out of the mountains for hibernation reasons as fall approaches. Maybe the Sasquatch are doing the same. Well, I don't know if they're insinuating that Sasquatch actually hibernate, or that they're just moving to other locations. Either way, one has to assume that the bear sightings have to account for some, if not most, of these Sasquatch sightings. To link an influx of Sasquatch sightings with bear sightings shouldn't lead us to believe that Sasquatch are heading off to hibernation. But anyone's guess is anyone's guess. I have many things I like to rant about when talking about the paranormal and related fields, but this month, I want to rant about cougars. Mountain lions, cougars, were recently sighted in Michigan, Ohio, and near New York City. New York City? While cougars are not cryptids or cryptozoological animals in and of themselves, it seems that their existence east of the Mississippi River is improbable, according to most wildlife officials in various states. They weren't supposed to exist in Louisiana either, despite numerous sightings, until they were confirmed recently by trail cams. A recent sighting 50 miles north of New York City has officials saying, "Sorry, wrong animal." Whatever the animal was, state wildlife officials have their doubts it was a mountain lion. Cougars, pumas, panthers, or mountain lions, essentially the same animal, have been gone from New York and elsewhere east of the Mississippi, with the exception of Florida, since the late 1800s. This according to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Any sightings are thought to be a case of mistaken identity or a no longer wanted exotic pet dumped in the woods. If mountain lions were present, the DEC said, it would occasionally discover one killed by a car or find tracks. Sightings similar to these have occurred recently in Michigan and Ohio. The Ohio sightings happened over a course of 2 months in an area close to Richfield. A hunter and his son observed a cougar until they noticed the cougar noticed them and it disappeared into the woods. Another sighting occurred when a cougar was observed stalking miniature horses. Samples of prints, hair, and scat were collected, but officials in Ohio refused to test them, stating that cougars do not exist in Ohio. The tests sent out of state confirmed that these were cougars. Ohio State wildlife officials have yet to respond to that. Now, my first thought is, why ignore this evidence gathered? My second thought is, exotic pets dumped in the woods. Wouldn't they be able to track these animals as the owners would need permits? Permits means there should be something on file. Maybe these officials could go out and verify these pets are still under lock and key with their rightful owners. This could at least prove that end of the story. I guess we'll have to wait for one to get hit by a car to produce a body, or wait for one of these ambush predators to produce one for us. Other than these sightings, let's take some other facts into consideration. The animal on the top of the cougar's menu is deer. Deer in Ohio were virtually extinct in the early 1900s due to unrestricted hunting as well as the conversion of woodlands to farms. The wolves and cougars that occupied these lands died off the same way, especially quick without their prey. It took deer nearly 40 years to rebound in Ohio naturally as well as through restocking programs. It doesn't seem too far off to think that it would take another 60 years for their natural predators to return. An update on the Yeti Project Japan out of Kathmandu. The 7-member team finished their trip and announced their findings. The Japanese adventurers say they have discovered footprints that they believe were made by the legendary Yeti, said to roam the Himalayan regions of Nepal and Tibet. The footprints were about 20 centimeters, actually slightly less than 8 inches long, and looked like a human's. Despite carrying numerous cameras, including trail cams, they failed to find visual evidence of a Yeti on this trip. They plan to take another expedition in the near future. In UFO news, an update to the September 29th announcement and display of video at the 5th Annual Irish International UFO Conference, the triangular-shaped UFO that was purportedly witnessed and filmed on August 3, 2008, showing the triangular craft with lights at each point, as well as a red laser-type light shining down to the earth below, has turned out to be a hoax. The video was created by Jeff Wilson. It was created for a fake UFO contest organized by the paranormal author, researcher, and radio personality Joshua P. Warren for last year's third annual Speaking of Strange UFO Experience, and turned out to be the first place winning UFO. And in ghost news, instead of bringing you the news from the ghost world, I'm going to bring you some advice instead. Now that the Halloween season is behind us, as are the onslaught of scary movies, there are many out there who have taken interest in this field of ghost hunting and paranormal investigation. Every year about this time, my inbox lights up with questions bordering on how one becomes a ghost hunter or a paranormal investigator, or how to join such a group. Well, my first piece of advice is to ask yourself three simple questions. 1. What do you want out of this? 2. How do you plan on finding it? And 3. How long do you plan on doing it? Realize that joining a group will not always bring you the answers you're looking for, especially if they are introspective. My biggest piece of advice has always been read books. Along with this, I want to say be careful in what you watch on television. Don't believe everything you see, even with the most famous of ghost hunting shows. Why? Because they do not accurately depict what you will endure in this field and do not provide you with the reality behind what you will be doing. While there is nothing wrong with most of these shows, they're made for entertainment. What we do in the field has no entertainment value at all. Ultimately, you will find yourself helping real living clients through real problems that they are incapable of handling and are asking you for your help at dealing with. Watching these shows do not provide you with enough knowledge to be a functional piece on an investigative team. There's more to these investigations than shutting off lights and running around in the dark with electronic instruments looking for clues like Scooby-Doo. Well, enough of that for now. Back to the books. When I say to read books, I don't mean America's Scariest Ghost Story type of books, but those written by parapsychologists, as well as amateur ghost hunters and paranormal investigators. Look in your local library under 133.1 under the Dewey Decimal System, go to a local bookstore, or find a used bookstore. Trust me, they're worth the drive. You can find a whole list of books at my group website at ghosthelp.net under the Suggested Books tab on the left. Each author will have their own interpretation of how things work, so be sure to be ready for this, and be sure to explore the works of many authors and at those at different levels to get a real appreciation for the various approaches in this field. After 12 years of being in this field, I finally decided to write my own book that would share my highs and lows of operating a group as well as what I see happen to individuals within it. Handbook for the Amateur Paranormal Investigator or Ghost Hunter explores this field for the new person, someone who wants to take their interest into a hobby, or an existing group that finds themselves stuck without purpose or direction. Well, this isn't a personal infomercial, but I feel it's a book that can truly help even those who have been in this field for a while. My favorite books are anything by Lord Auerbach, who is a parapsychologist who has embraced the amateur ghost hunters and is helping to educate them. Other than Lloyd, one of the best resources for scholarly books on parapsychology is at the American Society for Psychical Research webpage at www.aspr.com. If you want true stories, I would recommend the book Ghost Hunting, True Stories of Unexplained Phenomena from the Atlantic Paranormal Society, written by Grant and Jason of TAPS and Ghost Hunters fame. It will give you insight into how they really do things outside of the television show. Another author I would highly recommend would be John Kachuba, spelled K-A-C-H-U-B-A, who tells of his personal experiences of actually visiting and investigating haunted places, as well as the history of the locations. Once you've read at least 5 books from various authors, it's time to start asking questions. Find these authors online and ask them questions. Email local groups and ask them questions. Go to local conferences and mingle with those who work in groups. If you want to work in a group, be sure you have something to contribute other than your willingness to learn and what you've learned thus far. In other words, what other skill or attribute do you possess that can help them become successful? A background in any type of science will definitely be a plus. You may want to read books on interviewing skills, interpersonal communication, as well as electronics, physics, or any other type of science that you have a like for. If you want to join a group, look around the web or ask people you know. When you find a group you think you might like, ask them some questions. See what they want out of you and ask them what you'll get in return. Most groups will want some kind of commitment from you. If you have other plans when you join, be sure to communicate that with the group leader. The two biggest things you can do within a group, communication and participation. Don't be a member that only shows up for meetings or that can only show up for investigations. Some parting pieces of advice. Never think you've learned enough about this field or other fields of science that can help you understand the world of the paranormal. Finally, the more people you talk to, the more diversity of knowledge you will have in your personal arsenal. If you have any questions or comments, please let me know at insider@paranewsinsider.com. And in other news, our conferences, conventions, festivals, and other paranormal gatherings. The 6th Annual UFO Conference takes place in Las Vegas, Nevada, November 7th through the 9th. The Falls Paranormal Conference, Falls Paracon, takes place in Wichita Falls, Texas, November 25th. The Le Festival des Esprits will occur in New Orleans, Louisiana, on February 28th, 2009. The Rose City Paranormal Conference, also known as the Mount Hood Paranormal Conference, will take place in Mount Hood, Oregon, on April 24th through the 26th, 2009. The WISP Paranormal Expo, Women's International Study of the Paranormal, will be held May 29th through the 31st, 2009 in Mansfield, Ohio, at the Mansfield Prison. June 21st will bring the Kansas City Paranormal Conference in Kansas City, Missouri. The Canadian-American Can-Am Paracon 2009 will take place in Sarnia, Ontario, Canada, August 6th through the 7th, 2009. The Ohio Paranormal Conference will take place August 14th through the 16th, 2009, presented by Southern Ohio Paranormal. A portion of proceeds will benefit the Ohio Historical Preservation Office. And among the guests will be former guests of the Grand Dark Conspiracy, author John Kachuba, as well as yours truly. More information available at ohiocon.southernohioparanormal.org. On October 9th through the 11th, 2009, is the East Coast Paranormal Investigators Conference in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and an announcement will soon be made regarding a paranormal conference happening in early 2009 in Northeast Ohio. Stay tuned. For more information on these conferences and conventions, visit our events page at paranewsinsider.com. If you have information about any event and would like to hear it here, let us know at insider@paranewsinsider.com. Be sure to visit the message boards at theparanewsinsider.com or the Grand Dark Conspiracy message board. I'll see you there, and I'll see you next month on the Grand Dark Conspiracy. For the Paranormal News Insider, I'm Brian Parsons.
Our intro theme is by Answer Reed, Investigating the Phantom Signal. It is provided by the Podcast Music Network at podcastsafemusic.com.